This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
MLB insiders believe that the Dodgers are going to sign the top pitching prospect available. We got our big week one takeaways. Is Ohtani struggling? All that more coming up next on Dodgers Dugout Live.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
Okay. And that's strike three. Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Mookie Betts.
I don't care how many times this team rips my heart out, I'll never stop loving the Los Angeles Dodgers. Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
What's going on, Dodgers Nation? Welcome to another episode of Dodgers Dugout Live, the number one Dodgers show on YouTube. If you haven't yet, do us a huge favor and subscribe to the Dodgers Nation YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, hit that like button, and also comment done down below so you're eligible for our next giveaway at 90,000 subscribers. My name is Doug McCain, credential member of Dodgers Media. You can follow me on X and Instagram at @DMAC_LA. And on today's show, we got a jam-packed show. We got big takeaways from week one. We're talking about Roky Sasaki. Is Ohtani struggling? I've got my biggest concern for the Dodgers after week one. That's coming up. But first, let me know down below in the comment section, where are you represent Dodgers Nation from? Give me that city down below in the comment section. I've got my super producer, Mr. Antonio, to my left. If you did not see the video that we dropped this weekend on the Ohtani mural, he's the man behind it. He did an incredible job. If you haven't yet, go back and watch that amazing piece by Mr. Antonio. But he's looking for your comments. We're going to feature them throughout the show. We're always looking for that comment of the show. I've got Daniel Macy saying, "Let's go Dodgers." Justin Lamas saying, "Missed this live stream." Yeah, guys, we are back in a big way, okay? We're getting back to the routine. It's been a crazy last couple of weeks. You had Korea, you had the opening day. It's been a crazy week, crazy last couple weeks. We are getting back to the routine Monday through Friday, Dodgers Dugout Live, and also post-game shows throughout the week. We're going as hard as ever this year at Dodgers Nation. Diane Schroeder always rock with us, says, "Hi, D-Mac." Josh says, "Sub D-Mag, hi Doug, Dodger gal." We got ITFDB, that's from Samuel. We got 951 the house, LFG Dodgers. April Fool's, baby. I already got a guy with a bad Ohtani suspended April Fool's joke this morning. I did not enjoy that one. Outman is struggling. We'll talk about James Outman. We'll talk about everything you need to know about Dodger baseball in less than an hour. David E says, "D-Mag, explain why we traded TJ McFarland for just cash. Liked him better than Vessi." Yeah, I mean, like I've seen a lot of people say that. I mean, how about yesterday? You had Caleb Ferguson coming in a big spot and get a big out. Look, it happens. I mean, you got to trade stuff to get stuff, and sometimes certain players don't fit within the future of the roster. But Siren says, "Yo, D-Mac, I know this is off talk, but if Ohtani was pitching this season, do you think they still would have gone Glasnow or Yamamoto?" I absolutely do. I absolutely think they would have, because you need depth at that starting position. And look, this is a team that's been decimated by injuries, and even though you enter the season with a collection of talent, you want to give yourself the best chances to have three or four of those guys be fresh and ready to go in October. So I absolutely think they would have, no doubt about it, because they needed to trade some players to get some players off of that 40-man for the roster, and I think that they've had their eyes on Yamamoto for quite some time. But let's dive right into it here, guys. Yesterday, the Dodgers, they get the big win. Max Muncy didn't start the game, but he sure as hell finished it. The Dodgers couldn't get anything going against the Cardinals starter Steven Matz for the first five innings. Then finally, the bats, they started to show some life there in the sixth after Ohtani doubled Teoscar Hernandez. He doubled him in, and then that cut the Cards lead to 4-2. Then the eighth inning, Teoscar Hernandez, my guy, your favorite player's favorite player, he gets the Dodgers even closer with the solo blast. And then his fifth extra base hit, by the way, in four games in this series. Teoscar Hernandez, he is absolutely the perfect fit for this Dodgers lineup. And then next batter, Chris Taylor, draws a one-out walk. He steals second. And then King comes in to face Max Muncy on a 2-1 count, and he crushes the go-ahead home run. Max Muncy puts the Dodgers up 5-4. Daniel Hudson comes in. He slams the door shut with the 1-2-3 ninth, and your Dodgers, they get the win. They get the series win. And how about yesterday, though? I mean, Max Muncy is someone who I think my big takeaway was he's one of the ultimate glue guys for this Dodgers team. Someone that you can put in a big spot for a big at bat, and he's not Mookie or Ohtani or Freddie Freeman. He's not one of those guys, but he's someone that in a big spot has proven to come through time and time again. And like I said yesterday on X, there is a reason why this Dodgers organization is okay with Max Muncy playing average to below average defense, because he can hit go-ahead two-run home runs to put this team on top. He can hit big home runs when this team needs it most. And I think that we need to take a step back with Max Muncy and maybe just chill a little bit when every time he makes an error or anything like that, that you say, oh, the Dodgers need a new third baseman. Oh, Max Muncy, he's miscast. He's a DH masquerading as a third baseman. Look, when you can do what he did at the plate yesterday, that's what you get. That's why this team believes in him. And no, and on top of that, the defense has been pretty decent. I got Rosemary saying Muncy showed up. So put some respect on Max Muncy's name. No Ortega, 199. So I'm going to use that 199 to pay off Ipe's betting, gambling debt. So I'm going to use that for that. Hi, everyone, and good morning, DMAC. What up, Noah Ortega, represent over there. We got Hayden Magnum. No Max Muncy slandered allowed for at least a week. I'm with you on that one. Amen. I mean, Max Muncy, boom. He just that shot right there. First of all, you had the wind blowing in. You had the wind blowing in, and Max Muncy, he's able to hit that laser beam. And how about that? An elite bat drop. An elite bat drop from Max Muncy. So you love to see that success from Muncy. But let's get into my big takeaways from week one. My big takeaways from week one of Dodger baseball. And yes, of course, you had the Korea series. The Dodgers split that. But this feels like, okay, this is for real, right? This is week one. The rest of the teams are playing. The Dodgers, their record, they're sitting at 4-2. They take 3 of 4 from the Redbirds. And my first big takeaway is everyone relax when it comes to Shohei Ohtani. Yes, the show hasn't quite started yet. Ohtani hasn't hit that home run, but he's hitting the ball as hard as any Dodger has ever hit the ball. It's from Codify. The Los Angeles Dodgers have played over 2,600 games during the StatCast era. Shohei Ohtani has played in only 6 of those as a Dodger, but already has the hardest hit base hit of any Dodger during that time. So he's absolutely smoking the baseball. He's 7-for-26, has 2 doubles, sitting .269, has a 74 weighted runs created plus. He did have an opportunity to have a signature moment a few nights ago. He comes up there in extra innings. He had the bases loaded, 2 outs in a 6-5 game, and he pops out. But guys, just relax. Ohtani is going to be just fine. He's going to put up MVP numbers offensively. Do not worry about Shohei. He's going to be outstanding. So the thing too is, look, is he 100% coming off that injury? Kind of makes you wonder. Is he at 100%? Maybe he's at 95%. Maybe he's at 96%. Also, he's dealing with the mental weight of this investigation. I mean, I think that he can compartmentalize with the best of them. I think his focus is on baseball, and I don't think there's anything that's changing that. But to say it's nothing, I think is kind of crazy. This is from Mossimo, says, Doug, Ohtani will just give him time. Absolutely. I mean, you guys don't see me worrying. I am not worried at all about Shohei Ohtani whatsoever because, one, like I said, when his bat is hitting the baseball, he's hitting it harder than any Dodger in the history of this franchise. And, two, look, in the series against the Padres in Korea, a couple of those flouts to right center, they could have left the yard. And also, look, this is someone who he's going to be just fine. He's going to put MVP numbers. So, like I said, this show has not started, but it will. He's going to erupt, and I think it's going to be sooner than later. I think tonight, I'm calling my shot, Shohei Ohtani hits his first home run tonight against the Giants. And then second big takeaway from week one, young starting pitchers showed out. Young starting pitchers in Gavin Stone and Bobby Miller, they proved what this organization is all about. You see the casuals out there. You see the Dodgers haters out there saying, oh, this is checkbook baseball. This is a team that goes out there and tries to buy a World Series. When you know, because you are the learned baseball fan, that this Dodgers team is built on development. And if they don't play those players, they use them in trades. And you're seeing Bobby Miller emerge. You're seeing Gavin Stone emerge. And starting with Gavin Stone, he was absolutely outstanding. He set a new big league career high with 6 strikeouts. He had 3 in the first inning. He gave some hits. He gave 3 singles in the third that led to a run, and then a double and a pair of singles in the fifth that scored another. And you look at the numbers, look, you could say, okay, probably ordinary, right? Gives up 3 runs and 5 plus innings. But no, Stone, he looked good. Stone, I think, prove that he is going to be a part of this rotation, and possibly this is where I envision his season ending, because look, they have so much talent within this Dodgers rotation. So many guys are going to get opportunities. If Gavin Stone does remain a part of this rotation the entire season, I see him getting an opportunity in the postseason to in a piggyback start, potentially going out there in the fifth inning, the sixth inning, the seventh inning, giving you 3 innings in a postseason start and having a big impact. And you saw it yesterday. He expanded the repertoire. You're not just seeing a 4-seam fastball and a changeup. You are seeing him implement that sinker, that cutter. He's got the east and west. You even saw a curveball in there. The changeup we know is nastier than a gas station bathroom, but he made an absolute statement, and I think that Gavin Stone's spot is set in stone within this team moving forward. I love what I saw out of Gavin Stone. And then also Bobby Miller. Bobby Miller was absolutely outstanding. He allowed 2 hits, a pair of singles, issued just 1 walk in 6 scoreless innings of work. He also had 11 punch outs, which currently stands as the most for any pitcher in this early Major League Baseball season. And my favorite moment, though, was late in the game, dealing with some traffic. He punches out Gorman, and he lets out that roar. He spins a la a Walker Buehler, and that shows you that he's ready to take a next step as far as the maturity, as far as being able to get it done after giving up a hit, after giving up a walk and things like that. That is the version of Bobby Miller that you want to see. So I was extremely impressed by Bobby Miller. Goes out there and he says to the world, hey, this is a great rotation. Don't kid yourself. This is a great rotation that's filled with all-stars and Cy Youngs and guys that have Cy Young potential and things like that. But Bobby Miller went out there and said, you know what? My stuff is as good as any of them. My stuff can match up with the greats in the game. And I think that he sent a message big time. And like I said, it was that sixth inning. He struck out Scott Looking, and then he gave a single to Wynn to right. Donovan fly to center. Then he walked Goldschmidt. And then with runners on first and second, he punches out Gorman with a fastball. And that's a situation. Sometimes Clayton Kershaw talks about this. Clayton Kershaw says, sometimes you just have to want to strike out that guy more than that guy wants to get a hit off of you. And that really was the case there. So very impressed by these two young Dodgers starters, Gavin Stone and Walker Buehler. So diving into some super chats, BC Betts went 0-for-4 yesterday and he's still hitting .500. I'm going to get to Mookie. Mookie's living his Betts life. Mr. Classic, Gavin Stone looked wonderful in spring training and is really transferring that to the regular season. Keep it up, but need to see more. I think the big key, David, what up? Watching from Petaluma, California. Always represent. Thank you, David. We got some super chats. Massimo Buffon, Doug, when Buehler returns, who does he replace? We're going to get to that. So just hold on tight. We're going to talk about Walker Buehler and his rehab start. And look, The good thing is it's a good problem to have, right? It's an embarrassment of pitches. It's a team that has a lot of quality starting pitching, and it's not just free agents. It's not just guys you traded for. It's homegrown talent. Walker Buehler fits into that. Gavin Stone fits into that. You have Bobby Miller. You have Landon Knack, who looked really good in his first start of the season in AAA. So, look, I think you're going to see this team get flexible. I think you might see a little bit of a six-man-ish rotation, but I think for Gavin Stone, it makes you wonder which of these relievers are going to be healthy. How quickly can they get a Bruce Zargrattel back, a Blake Treinen back? Because I think Gavin Stone, like I said a few minutes ago, his ultimate role this season, I don't think he's going to start a postseason game unless there's a slew of injuries, but I do think he could have a big role in a postseason game by coming out of the pen, giving you three solid innings in a piggyback type of situation. Now, next big takeaway. We are rolling, guys. So excited to have baseball to talk about, real regular season baseball. All season long, by the way, here at Dodgers Nation, the number one Dodgers YouTube channel. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, hit that like button. And I know you guys want to talk about Roky Sasaki, and we will get to that. I see Reed saying, Roky, bring back. We got first live in a while. We got Chris Matt was solid yesterday. Ismael, hey, who's that one Dodgers show of all the Dodgers show that said that Chris Matt was going to be something? Oh, wait, it's the one you're watching right now. So we'll talk about him in a second. In fact, how about this? My next big takeaway is my first biggest concern. What wakes me up at 3:30 in the morning in a cold sweat is the Dodgers bullpen, and namely Alex Vesia and Joe Kelly. And look, it is still way too early to glean anything from early season results, right? You can't be overly concerned, but is Alex Vesia a part of a championship level, World Series level bullpen? It makes you kind of wonder. I mean, in his appearance, he had issued two walks and hit by a pitcher. The Cardinals, they were able to tack on another run after Austin Barnes had a catcher's interference. And a couple nights in a row, you had a catcher's interference, right, with Joe Kelly. And then Joe Kelly, he goes two-thirds of an innings. He allowed three hits, four earned runs, one walk, and the Dodgers 6-5 extra innings loss on Saturday. But let's start with Alex Vesia. So the thing with Alex Vesia is it's what we always see with him. And it is that sometimes he'll struggle with glove side, with arm side command up in the zone. Sometimes he'll struggle to land that four seam fastball in the top of the zone. And when he does that, you're going to start to see him struggle and you're going to start to see him issue walks. And that's the unfortunate thing, because it starts to speed up on him when he can't get hitters out and he issues free passes and he starts hitting batters. I mean, that really tends to be the issue with Alex Vesia. And look, I think when you look the way this team is shaped, I mean, he went one inning, allowed no hits, no, but still the hit by a pitch to Donovan, the Goldschmidt catcher interference. So no hits, no walks, but you start to see some signs of those early season struggles that we saw last season. But in his defense, I will say I see Twitter, I see X, people going crazy saying Alex Vesia this, Alex Vesia that. This is the Alex Vesia experience. Struggles early in the year, then around the All-Star break starts to figure things out, and then is essentially lights out down the stretch. Only question I have is, does that down the stretch include pitching well into October? Because he had his opportunity against the Padres a couple years ago, gave the big hit to Cronenworth, right? So I think, look, I think where we're at right now, as far as left-handed reliever, by the way, Caleb Ferguson looked really good for the Yankees. As far as left-handed reliever, you have Ryan Brazier, who hasn't looked great early on. You have Blake Treinen. You have Bruce Zargrattel. You have Joe Kelly. Those guys are good against getting lefties out, right? They have reverse splits. Those guys have reverse splits. But if you want a lefty specialist, I'm telling you, the Florida Marlins are going to be sellers. I think the Florida Marlins are probably going to end up trading Jesus Luzardo to a team like the Orioles. I don't see him going to the Dodgers. But Tanner Scott needs to be a Dodger by midseason. I think that's the guy they end up trading for if they want to bolster this bullpen externally. So some more super chat money. We got Jelly Donut says, D-Mag, where did Chase Utley go to high school? Hint, it's not St. Francis. Hint, the same school as Tony Gwynn. I mean, I thought that Chase Utley went to St. Francis for a while. They didn't? Okay. All I know is you went to UCLA. I'm a proud alumnus of UCLA, so that's all I care about. So go Bruins. But hey, Chase Utley, the Silver Fox, he's on a short list of of a short list of candidates I would want to see. If Dave Roberts, after he wins a couple World Series and decides to step down a long, long time from now, Chase Utley is that guy. But who? Where did Chase Utley? Oh no, yeah, he went to Long Beach Poly. That's right, went to Long Beach Poly. He's a jackrabbit. Who else went to Long Beach Poly? Snoop Dogg, Cameron Diaz. How about what was our tight end's name? I forgot. But yeah, Long Beach Poly, man. I mean, kind of fell off a little bit on the football side, but still.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
But we got, here we go. Vesia scares me every time he takes the mound. That's from C underscore Lowe's. Okay, let's keep rocking with these big takeaways. So that to me is my early concern. The bullpen, like I said, Alex Vesia didn't look good. Joe Kelly, like I said, Joe Kelly is someone that he's going to have his appearances where he's off at times. And I saw people saying, oh, Dave Roberts, he doesn't know how to manage a bullpen. Oh, Dave Roberts should have pulled Joe Kelly out earlier in that one. I think that it was a good thing to leave Joe Kelly out and try to see if he could figure it out. If he could try to figure out kind of how to get out of something that he started, right? And I think early on the season, you need to use it to assess what your relievers are capable of. And we've seen that in the past with Dave Roberts, especially early on the season. If a reliever goes out there, issues a couple walks and a couple hits, he's going to sometimes early on the season see if that reliever can get out of that jam, because that is something that is a big boost for the team, big boost for Joe Kelly. And if you looked at his appearance, it all starts with a leadoff walk. He just didn't have the command of that sinker. The knuckle curve was off, and then he falls off that leadoff walk with a hit by a pitch on the very first pitch. I mean, high and inside to Nolan Arenado. So he was wilder than a frat party during rush week early on that one, and that's really the issue. But the positive side, the velocity was there. The movement was there. And it's the Joe Kelly experience, okay? You're going to see some bad starts. I mean, yeah, and the next batter reached on another catcher's interference. And then he gave up a sack fly to Herrera and then a single to Burleson. And yeah, could Dave have gone out there and taken him out earlier and taken the ball from Joe Kelly? Well, guess what? He went out there and brought in Alex Vesia, who replaced him, the same guy that the fans are also hard on this week. And guess what? On top of that, the Dodgers still almost won that game. They lost 6-5 in extra innings. So I'm not really worried or highly critical of Doc leaving Joe Kelly out in that situation, because guess what? Joe Kelly can get out of that situation because he has big swing and miss stuff. We got Geshmake over on YouTube. Leave it to Austin Barnes to get a catcher's interference. I mean, I was trying to rack my brain. I've watched baseball for a trillion years. back-to-back games with catcher's interference. You do not see that very often. Bobby Miller is definitely a dark horse for a Cy Young candidate. That's a fantastic take. Bobby Miller is someone who I think ends up on the National League All-Star team. Bobby Miller is good. Bobby Miller is someone that has put in the work this offseason to tighten up that slider. And what really impresses you about him is it's not the 98 to 100 mile per hour fastball that makes him special. It's that he has a true five pitch mix. He can use the curveball early in counts, steal strikes with that. He can go to the changeup. He can go to, and that's what we saw. We saw a lot of changeup. We saw slider. And that was the pitch that he told me the offseason was going to really take his game to the next level. I asked Bobby Miller, what do you need to do to take a leap? And that is figure out the shape and the feel for that slider to be effective. And he's certainly done that early on. So I agree with you. I mean, dark horse Cy Young, that's a big time bold statement there, but I definitely think that he could sneak into the All-Star game because the punch out numbers are big time. Like I said, his 11 strikeouts are the most by any pitcher so far early on in this season. Okay, next big takeaway. We're at number 5 already, and that is the bottom of the Dodgers lineup. They need to be better for this team to be elite. With Mookie, Shohei, and Freddie, they're going to be good to great. There's no doubt about that. But what can take them from great to elite is the bottom of that lineup. I think I know what I'm going to get out of the top three. I think I know what I'm going to get out of Will Smith, Max Muncy, and Teoscar Hernandez. But what am I going to get out of James Altman? What am I going to get out of Gavin Lux and Jason Hayward and possibly a Miguel Rojas, who, by the way, had a home run and a single the other night, and then a Jason Hayward? It reminds me of that meme. You ever seen that meme, that horse meme, where the front of the horse is drawn all nicely and it looks great, and then it kind of looks like a kindergartner drew it at the end? We need it to look all good. We need it to be perfect from start to finish. And if you look at the bottom of this lineup, Gavin Lux, he's gone 4-for-20 so far. He's hit 200. Jason Hayward, he's gone 3-for-24 so far. He's hit 214. Of everyone, though, the one who's struggled the most, unfortunately, is James Altman. James Altman's gone 2-for-17. 5 strikeouts, not a lot of hard contact, not a lot of good quality at bats. And what I always tell you, my 5 stages of being a big leaguer, right? There's the dream is realized. That's the first stage. Then the second stage is prove you belong. And yes, he was an above average bat and above average defensive center fielder last season. Yes, he performed well. He finished 3rd in the rookie of the year voting. But sometimes it takes more than a year to prove that you belong. And I think with James Altman, when you don't have a natural swing, mechanically sometimes you can fall into some droughts. And unfortunately, he's not had a great start to the season. Like I said, it's still way too early. This is an overreaction pretty much top to bottom. But I want to see more from the bottom of that lineup. The bottom of the lineup is what is going to take this team to the next level. Last season, they scored over 906 runs, the most in LA Dodgers history, right? The bottom of the lineup is going to need to have a lot more success if you want this to be a historically great lineup. And then 6th big takeaway is, when it comes to first impressions, no one to me made a better first impression than Teoscar Hernandez. You guys know I beg for this guy. I thought he was going to be the perfect right-handed hitter to rake against lefties. He's that lefty masher. Since 2020, he's hit lefties the 5th best of anyone in Major League Baseball. He's up there with Aaron Judge and Mookie Betts and those types of players. Well, guess what? First time he faced a lefty, he goes yard. And he has 6 hits so far. 5 of those 6 hits have gone for extra bases. He has 2 doubles and 3 home runs. Has an OPS over 1,000. Did go over 5 on Saturday. But you're going to see that with Teoscar Hernandez sometimes. And that's when you know he's right, is when he's having success against righties. Well, he had a home run against a righty yesterday. So he's someone that is going to be absolutely, absolutely irreplaceable in this lineup, in my opinion. He plays such a specific role. I mean, look what Justin Turner did a couple years ago. Imagine that times like 30% at this part of his career. I think he's going to absolutely take this lineup to the next level. And we already saw early on, he's already done what they signed him to do. When you do that, that makes general managers extremely happy. That's when they're smiling from ear to ear. When we signed this guy to rake against lefties, and he's done just that. So we got some more super chats. James says they need to lock up Teoscar. He checks off all the boxes. Yeah, like I said a couple weeks ago, he is on a mission. This is a one-year-long business trip for him. He wants to get paid. He ends up signing that deal, some deferred money, $23.5 million around that on a one-year contract. Next year, the market's going to be healthier. And I think if he has a lot of success in this lineup, he's going to put himself in a position to get himself a deal between $75 and $100 million. D-Max Pool Guy. What up, man? I like that's a fire username. Missed that. Can you scroll up a little bit? I missed you on the super chat somewhere on that. But Maxwell Muncy will keep it. We got my man Antonio again is put right here. Can't wait for my boy Blake Treinen to come back. Yeah, the thing about Blake Treinen, he has a bruised lung. He got hit by that comebacker. He's going to be just fine. It should be pretty soon. D-Mac, you called it. Teoscar is a doubles machine. Hey, man, trust me. I wanted Teoscar bad because the Dodgers, they needed that lefty matcher. Now, next big takeaway. This is probably one of my favorite ones to get into is Yamamoto silenced the critics. Yamamoto silenced the haters. They were trying to act like he was going to be a bust, like he wasn't special, like the ball was too big for him, like he couldn't handle major league hitters, like the mound was different. No. Yoshinobu Yamamoto has world-class stuff. Yoshinobu Yamamoto is someone that's going to be vying for Cy Youngs for the next 5 to 7 years. He's someone that is going to be in the Rookie of the Year mix. I know I went extremely bold a couple weeks ago and said he was going to be the first pitcher since Fernando Valenzuela to win a Cy Young and the Rookie of the Year award in the same year. Might be time to backtrack from that just a little bit, but I love what I saw from him on Saturday night. Just look at that first inning. He comes out dealing, strikes out the side. He caught Brandon Donovan looking on a nasty yo-yo curveball, that rainbow curveball, finished off Goldschmidt and Gorman on that nasty splitter. He retired 12 of the first 13 batters he faced. He was absolutely on cruise control, and then it started pouring at Chavez Ravine. Thankfully, though, we just had a 35-minute delay, and he was able to go back out there and go another inning. And he went out there and pitched another scoreless inning and worked his way around a double by Alec Burleson. But the big key, I talked to Yamamoto after the game of the press conference. The question I asked Yamamoto, I said, hey, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, you've had pristine command throughout your entire career. That's what's made you great. That's what's made you special. What do you think is the biggest reason why you haven't been able to have that same level of success at the big league level with your command? And he said, I know how to fix it. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to work with Mark Pryor and Connor McGinnis. Had some issues out of the stretch, and he did fix it. And you know what he did? If you saw his glove placement, it was a little closer to his body, and just mechanically the glove placement was in a position where it allowed him to get to the plate a little more efficiently, and that was the key adjustment. But it really struck me when I asked that question Yamamoto, because this guy has fire in his eyes, and he's just said right away, period, point blank, I know how to fix it, and he clearly fixed it, and you saw the command was much improved. The first start, 2-for-9 on first pitch strikes. This one, better than that, but really it was more about just strikes overall. He was pounding the zone. 45 of his 68 pitches were in the zone. And a lot of times when he's working out of the zone, it's intentional, right? I mean, you saw the splitties. You saw that world-class splitty getting hitters to chase. And yeah, I could not be more thrilled about Yoshinobu Yamamoto. He looked like that $325 million man that has world-class stuff. Not a lot of pitchers can embarrass hitters consistently. That's what he does. He makes hitters look foolish. He makes hitters look embarrassed. That's how talented he is. And it was great to see him have a solid start. I mean, we're talking about a guy who came into this start with a 45 ERA. Okay, a 45 ERA. And he's definitely balancing it out. So very encouraged by Yamamoto's second start. Now, another couple quick takeaways before we hit our first break. Nabil Chrismat. How about Nabil Chrismat yesterday? And you had that roster move, right? Emmett Sheehan, he was placed on the 60-day IL, so he's going to need more time. And then Kyle Hurt, he was optioned. I saw people losing their mind about Kyle Hurt being optioned. Why? You have 5 options, right? And the fact that they're optioning him this early in the season, that tells you they have all the confidence in the world that he's ultimately going to be a part of this bullpen, possibly in the postseason. If they thought that, okay, we're going to kind of string him along and try to maximize his innings, they'd probably be a little more careful with his options. But when you do it after the first weekend of action, it lets you know that he's going to be a part of their picture moving forward. He went 2 2/3 innings a couple days ago, and the Dodgers just felt like they need a little more coverage as far as the innings. You bring up Chrismet, he had 3 strikeouts. He pitched 2 scoreless innings in his Dodgers debut. How about this? 29 pitches, 21 changeups. And not only that, the look that he gave those hitters, I think, helped Daniel Hudson the following inning when he was going out there and he was throwing gas. He was throwing high velocity. That definitely is a factor right there. Now, Chrismet, what I tell you in the offseason, one of the reasons why I felt pretty confident that he was going to have success with the Dodgers is if you looked at his expected numbers, if you looked at the changeup, they were all consistent with the time in San Diego when he was one of the better multi-inning relievers in the sport. He just had a lot of bad luck last season, was dealing with a little bit of injury issues. So, yeah, definitely a very encouraging sign. Now, coming up next, we're going to talk about Roky Sasaki, and we're going to talk about the Dodgers Player of the Week and an update on Walker Buehler. That's coming up next here on Dodgers Dugout Live. Rutrow. Let's just dive right into the second segment. So it's a little echoey here. Maybe we want to change that. But here we go. I got comments here. We got James, Michael, Grove, and Alex Vesey are good on paper, but they are liabilities under pressure. World Traveler, focus on winning a World Series. Focus on Roky Sasaki. Ohtani will be fine. Got some chats over here. Great improvement from Yamamoto, but he was pulled after 68 pitches. Spring training is over. Time to start ramping up. Yeah, I thought he could have probably gone out there and pitched another inning, but when you look at the delay, when you look at where he was, I'm not too upset about it. Now,
standing in the batter's box is Jonathan Glasse, and the pitch is a fastball up high, 9 years old. This is 1-0 pitch is taken. That was 1-1 pitch to Glasse. Swung on, bounced to the right side, into the hole to glove it is Araúz, and the second been 10th of 2022. So he's been out for a while. So now the pitch is down and into Cade Marlowe, ball one. Marlowe, 2-for-8 on. Now the 1-0 to Marlowe, up high for a Boston. They were playoff bound, of course, and they decided not to push Buehler
on the mound for the Dodgers. And I see people out there saying, oh, Walker Buehler, is he going to be the ace? Is he going to be the ace of the Dodgers? I've got news for you. They don't need him to be the ace. They don't need 2019, 2020 Walker Buehler on this team because you have Tyler Glass now. You have Yamamoto. You have Bobby Miller and Gavin Stone, James Paxton, some of these other guys. There's not the kind of pressure on him just to go out there and pitch like that. Now, does he want to perform like an ace? Absolutely, because he's in a contract year. He wants to perform like an ace. And I like this. Donald Thompson says they're all aces. And I think it's very encouraging. Like I said,
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to TalkSpace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at TalkSpace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at TalkSpace.com.
I mean, just to go out there and pitch the way he did, I mean, he touched 95.2 miles per hour, and also he went with the full arsenal of pitches, right? You saw the cutter, you saw the knuckle curve, you saw the sinker. So the most important for him, thing for him is just to ramp up, get those up-downs, and just continue to stockpile innings and stay healthy, have no setbacks. So, yeah, I was very encouraged to see Walker Buehler back. Now, next one we got to talk about is about Roky Sasaki. I'm sure you guys saw Bob Nightingale dropped a very spicy, nugget. And I talked to Bob Nightingale over the on opening day about a couple of different things, and he's really locked into the Dodgers this year. I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of Bob Nightingale for sure. We got to just when you think the Dodgers can't possibly sign any more stars, several GMs believe that Roky Sasaki, 22, one of the best pitchers in the world, already has plans to sign with the Dodgers after this season. Every team in baseball wants this guy, one GM told USA Today Sports, but there's no way he's going anywhere else but the Dodgers. We all know it. Now, if that doesn't give you goosebumps, that doesn't send chills up your spine, I don't know what else will, because Roky Sasaki isn't just the best prospect, pitching prospect in all of baseball. He's the best prospect on the planet right now. This is someone who will be 23 with the Dodgers next season. This is someone who sits 98 to 100. He pitched a perfect game. Last year, pitched around 90 innings at a sub-2 ERA clip. He's had an ERA around 2 in his time in the MPB. Ask anyone in the sport right now who is the pitcher that has the most potential, who has the highest ceiling, and there was only one name that's mentioned, and that's Roky Sasaki. Now, if you saw the interview I did in Korea with Andrew Friedman, at the very end, I asked, said, hey, Andrew, don't worry, I'm not going to show you a picture of Roky Sasaki wearing a Dodgers uniform. And what do we see? That Andrew Friedman signature smile, that Andrew Friedman signature laugh. I'm not saying that's everything, but the vibes were strong is all I have to say. So, yeah, take this for what it's worth. And look, I've done a lot of videos about Roky Sasaki. I'll drop them down below. Someone says you can only get $4 million. That's the biggest thing. Is you're talking about international signing bonus pool money. Last year, the Dodgers, they only got one player in the top 100 in Morales, the shortstop, right? Only got one. Typically, the Dodgers are going after two. So they clearly had their eyes set for the following season. And Roky, he was able to get a deal done with the Marines, the Chibolote Marines. And there's just not great communication with Roky and his franchise that he's playing for in the MPB. In his contract, though, it was reported a couple months ago that he probably does have that clause, which would allow him to get out of his deal, just like Shohei Ohtani had a few years back before he signed with the Angels, that would allow him to go to Major League Baseball and play under a minor league contract. So not only would you get the top pitching prospect on the planet, you would get him at the most affordable rate ever. Someone that would easily be able to fetch $30 to $40 million on the open market on a signing bonus around $4 to $5 million on a minor league contract. Could you believe it? You think that fans are mad at the Dodgers now? You think that they're punching air thinking about the Dodgers now? Just wait until they sign Roky Sasaki. Just imagine that. Imagine next season watching a rotation. I want to see this in back-to-back starts. Shohei Ohtani, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and Roky Sasaki. Might as well just wear the Team Japan WBC jerseys at that point. Okay, so it'd be absolutely special. So definitely some encouraging news. Like I said, he has to get posted. He has to get out, right? And he can't get posted until a couple of years from now, but he's not going to wait that long. That's not going to happen with this guy. He's already made it very clear. He's indicated to his club and his agent that he wants to go to the show as soon as possible. There was a very slim chance that he was going to be able to go last offseason. I've heard people, the kind of the buzz in Korea was that the next offseason is going to be the Roky Sasaki offseason. If he goes to the Dodgers, you're talking about one of the most talented teams in history getting that much better, and also a player that really builds towards your future. So a couple more super chats here, guys. We got the Sunday night in-game interviews must go. Annoying. A wired up Kike, the whole world hearing what's coming. Altuve couldn't believe it. Okay, that's a fire take. $4.99 fire take. But yeah, I thought that was hilarious. Change up. Hearing the pitch calm the entire time. I thought that was pretty awesome there. And Kike Hernandez doing them. I do like the mic'd ups, though. I really, really do. I mean, one of my favorite moments last year, Nando390 says he hates his wife. One of my favorite moments last year was when Miguel Rojas was mic'd up and the ground ball was being hit to him. And you could hear the show chains of all the show chains rock. He's like, hold up, I got to make this play real quick. He makes the play and he continues the interview. So I do like the mic'd up. I think baseball needs to do a lot of things about that. I think what they should do is just have the first base coach just mic'd up the whole time. How awesome would that be, right? Have the first base coach, Clay McCullough, just wired the first sound the whole time. You can hear that conversation possibly with the opposing team, and even have Freddie Freeman. That'd be cool. We got concerns for Brazier, Yang Yi. I'm not concerned. It's like I said, it's too early of a sample size. I think Brazier, the velocity, the movement, the spin, all those profiles are good. The big key for him is just continue to build off the cutter that he implemented last year. Yeah, I like the Dino mic'd up. That's from Robert for sure. Kike said Cone Who. That's from Carnivorous Lunar Activity. Yeah. We get a chat from Yang Yi. Glasnow, Miller, Yamamoto, Ohtani, Sasaki, 2025. I mean, that is the apps. That's the murderer's rotation right there. We got Geshmig. Yamamoto is nastier than a rest stop drinking fountain. I like it. Clearly a fan of the show. He is. And like I said, I mean, the stuff translates, okay? The stuff translates, and I think that you learn a lot. Sometimes it takes one game to learn from a player, learn about a player's makeup, right? Yoshinobu, he gets out of his car with a big-ass Chanel bag, right? And he's, you know, decked out, and then he goes up there and just absolutely embarrasses big league hitters with some of the nastiest stuff we've ever seen. I always said, when it comes to Yamamoto, we lost Pedro Martinez. This is the baseball gods doing a solid. We're getting our Pedro Martinez. I mean, he was pumping 97. Nasty change, nasty splitty, yo-yo curveball. But a couple more. We got a taste of what Yamamoto is capable of doing. I think that's the best way to put it. We got a taste of it. Joel Rodriguez would love to see Yamamoto against the Braves. Isaac says, is Denelson Lamet actually going to get called up, or is this an April Fool's joke? Is that the news right now? Let me check over on Twitter. Got to be careful about the, Denelson Lamet. By the way, do you guys know the best April Fool's joke was about Sid Finch, the curious case of Sid Finch? It was in Sports Illustrated in 1985. They wrote this article about this pitcher named Sid Finch that they said pitched like 108 miles per hour and he was the best pitcher ever, and it was actually completely made up. Go look up Sid Finch. It's the best April Fool's joke of all time. Let's see here, though. We got... Don't see anything yet. Oh, actually, you know what? No, that's Robert Murray. Robert Murray's tweeting this out. So Robert Murray, my friend, says the Dodgers are calling up right-hander Denelson Lamet. So there we go. I like it. Dodgers are taking advantage early on. I don't know what the corresponding move is, but yeah, we got some breaking news right here. I mean, the first thing I had to do, he's not on the 40-man roster, so you have to make some room on that 40-man roster. You could still transfer Nick Frasso to the 60-man. Just top of my head, I bet you that's what they do. But how about that? Denelson Lamet, he gave the Dodgers fits a couple years ago. Of course, he's dealt with injury issues. But hey, back in 2020, how nasty was him? But how nasty was he? The shortstop, is Vesia going down? I'm not so sure that's the play right there. But we'll probably do another video a little later. We'll talk about that. But like I said, Frasso could be moved that 60-day. But Denelson Lamet, okay, getting called up. Actually, before we leave, I got to get my batter of the week. Player of the week last year, and that last week for the Dodgers, Marcus Lynn Betts. Mookie living his Betts life with the Dodgers. He drove in 5 runs. He reached base 10 times in his 18 plate appearances. He scored a team-leading 7 runs and posted a ungodly, godlike 1709 OPS. And that's even going 0 for 4 on Sunday. He was absolutely outstanding. In fact, there was a point last week where he didn't make an out in consecutive plate appearances in his first 5 games. Did not make an out in consecutive plate appearances in the first 5 games of the season. And then Saturday, we know what he can do offensively, but I think Saturday, the most impressive thing for me was he made some really nice plays defensively. And there were plays that we've seen him struggle with, going to his right, just completing it, going through it, making the throw. He made it look easy. He looked like a veteran, like he had played that shortstop position for 8-10 years out there. And after the game, he said, I like this too. Mookie said, everybody here sees the work I put in. So I was actually really proud of myself for making these plays. I gave myself a little pat on the back and maybe I'll have a little milkshake tonight. So yeah, you absolutely deserve that milkshake, Marcus Lynn Betts, because offensively, he set the tone. Mookie set the tone for this offense early on. And I think he's out there to remind you that, hey, yeah, we signed Shohei Ohtani. Yeah, you brought in some talent. But let's not forget, I take a backseat to absolutely no one. Mookie is one of the very best players on the planet. He's top 3 to 5, in my opinion. And he's showing out early on at the plate. And I think that if he plays that shortstop position like we saw on Saturday night, he's going to run away, absolutely run away, Belmont Stakes, secretariat level, run away with the National League MVP and be the first person to win an MVP in both leagues since Frank Robinson did it. I think Mookie Betts is going to win the NL MVP, and he made an absolute statement early on. So a couple more. We'll let you guys enjoy the rest of your Monday. And we got the Giants tonight. How about that? And like I said, I'm calling it Ohtani. He's going deep. Ohtani's going yard tonight. And if he doesn't, we edit this out. Teoscar Hernandez is wonderful. I like that. Absolutely. Watch Mookie tonight. We got Mr. Classic. He will tear up the Giants for Mr. Classic. Who do you guys have going deep tonight? You guys with me on Shohei Ohtani leaving the yard? We got 7th inning stretch, Angela Chavara. What's the injury situation on Clayton Kershaw, Tony Gonsolin, Dustin May? So Kersh, he's already thrown on flat ground. He's made progress. He's ahead of schedule. Tony Gonsolin's not going to pitch this year. Dustin May haven't heard too much of late. I was actually going to ask Dave Roberts next time I saw him about Dustin May, see if there's any update on that. But they're hoping to get him at some point towards the end of the summer. And he's been in the clubhouse going through his routine. Feels like he's doing okay. But I'm going to get you that latest on that. So definitely be on the lookout. James Allman batting better than Anthony Rendon, 0 for 11. That's from Joel Rodriguez. Hey, some players hate baseballs like Shohei Ohtani because of how hard he hits them. Some people just hate baseball like Anthony Rendon. The Dodgers hit 4 million in attendance this year. Metal Rules V, I hope so. I saw too many empty seats, though. I was a little disappointed. A little disappointed by how many empty seats I saw. Not going to lie. I think they absolutely, there's a difference between how many tickets are sold and how many butts are actually in that seat. I think there's a pretty decent chance that they do hit 4 million. We got Anthony Keene. Muncie, the Giant Slayer, goes up. Because, guys, this is the best ticket in town. Drew Pomerantz will take over the lefty role, calling it now. David Chang dropped a video on Pomerantz a couple days ago. And go back and watch that. Kelly needs to know his role. He needs to know he is here to strike out with the speed, not intimidating by players. He needs to chill. Yeah, he needs to just kind of get into his groove. I agree with that. But that, I agree with you, right? Yeah, too many empty seats with opening weekend. But that's going to do it for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. If you haven't yet, do us a huge favor and also do yourself a huge favor by subscribing to the Dodgers Nation YouTube channel, the number one Dodgers YouTube channel in the game, where you can win autographs, authentic jerseys, all kinds of giveaways. Just got a comment done down below. Next giveaway is at 90,000. Remember, another brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time, think blue, bleed. Nando, I love my wife, April Fools. Okay. Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.